the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, News from the Nest. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured artist Friday. It is Michael Jackson. Pick a tune. There's plenty of them. We'll play them. Send your request. Plazaport text line at 410-583-1057. Nolan McGraw, make it happen for you if you want to join us. Ken, we'll get to you later in the hour. But as we talked about last segment, John Harbaugh's decision to challenge a pass completion. It was Gesicki.
Mm-hmm.
First drive of the game. Did not win. And then they had 12 men on the field. I think it was like the next play. And the next play. And the next play. But anyway, here's John Harbaugh explaining said decision.
Because in the low red zone, the difference between defending the 2-yard line and the 4-yard line is massive. You know, and we would have got that stop if we don't get the holding call in the end zone and fourth down. You know, and even at the 2-yard line. So I just feel like there's a big difference between the 2 and the 4. And we're trying to force a field goal there. So it felt like it was worth the cost if you win it. You know, if you don't win it, you know, then it becomes lost.
Becomes lost. Yeah. I don't know. I've never been a defensive coach, so the difference between the 2 and the 4, I don't know. But the dude upstairs, you know.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
We get the difference in yardage.
Right, like, but I mean, the dude
is
up,
it a you know, winnable challenge?
Now, the dude upstairs, he was right on last week. Did great on that challenge.
Well, here's the thing, at least from what I noticed. Before the challenge flag was thrown there, Harbaugh was kind of running down the sideline trying to get the ref's attention. And he almost looked like he was in a panic, a frenzy, that he was waiting on
a
signal.
Right.
And, you know, he's gripping the headset, trying to talk to the ref, receive the call in his ear. And it almost looked like he panicked and said, okay, just do it. You know, or he didn't receive word. I don't know that for a fact. Obviously, I'm not on the call.
Yeah, it looked like he was buying time.
But he was very much in a tizzy there.
I know it's between the 2 and the 4. It's the 3.
Yep.
Maybe that'll change things even more dramatically. But either way, it did not work. And that's John Harbaugh explaining why at that time they chose to do what they did. Water under the bridge, I guess. Or is it, though? Because we see this often. These failed challenges. Maybe it's more of a bigger picture thing than just a one-timer on a Thursday.
It became a no issue because the timeouts didn't come back to haunt them. That was the big thing. But like you said, in the big picture thing, Bob, is another communication bust with the 12 men on the field. I mean, on the first drive of the key, you already got your first mental error.
All right, let's get to something more positive. That Lamar Jackson. How about this guy? He's having a brilliant season, better than he's ever played before. This is a guy with 2 MVPs already, going for a third. And John Harbaugh recognizing Lamar's importance to this team.
I mean, what can you say? I mean, we have seen it before. I just think he took that game on his shoulders, you know, like he does. And I appreciate the other guys, you know, with him, you know. You know, look at Tylan Wallace. You know, look at Bate, what he did. Mark Andrews, the catches that he made in there. Zay, you know, the catches he made. The offensive line, I thought, in the second half, the offensive line really did a great job in protection. It was really a group effort. I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, no sacks.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing that, you know, Bob, is impressive, you know, about this offense is, and we talk about it all the time, it's always somebody. Last week it was Zay Flowers, you know, had the big day. And who would have ever thought it was going to be Tylan Wallace? Nobody. You know, so, I mean, it's crazy how, all right, now it's Zay, Wallace, it's Bateman, it's Andrews, it was Likely. You know, it's always Henry. It's always somebody different, which is, you know, makes it difficult for a D coordinator.
And even Nelson Aguilar. I mean, former first-round draft pick, Super Bowl champ with Philly. He makes a play every week that impacts the game, mainly from a positive standpoint.
Yeah. Got his touchdown. That was a hell of a – that was a good design, good play You know, I mean, he was wide open, and who was coming on the other? Andrews was wide open, too.
All right, that's the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah.
Let's get to the problems here. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Nolan McGraw. Victory Friday, let me keep stressing that. Ravens are 7-3, and they get a nice little break before the Steelers, November 17th. Marlon Humphrey, secondary, what's up there?
It's not cool to win a game and you look up and the team has 300 passing every week. You know, and it'd be different if we didn't have no guys that could play. I haven't once heard anybody say we don't have the guys, we don't have the players, we don't have the skill. We're not doing it in practice. It's clear that it's something from when we do that last preparation to the game, what is happening in that span.
Well, I mean, if you're practicing everything right and then, you know, you go to the game and you have busts, it's a lot easier in practice, you know, with walkthroughs and stuff. And, yeah, I got him and, you know, that. Or you're going against scout team and it's not full speed. But then when you got Jamar Chase running and you got, you know, Joe Burrow throwing and things happening so much faster, it's like, you know, they can't handle it. And they've shown for 10 weeks they can't handle it. But they could handle it last year. That's the only thing I always go back to. Then is it scheme? What the problem is it too difficult? If it's too difficult, simplify. I mean, that's it, or change the people.
Here's an interesting comment from Marlon Humphrey. Ravens are 7-3, and you know, his strip of Chase Brown, the fumble, which Roquan recovered, changed the tone of the game. They might have been getting blown out if it wasn't for that.
Same way in week 5.
But Marlon, you're 7-3, but are these wins enjoyable?
These wins are getting harder to enjoy based off what we're doing in the past defense. You know, I feel like in the past defense, we've really lost that standard, and, you know, I feel like that falls on me. And we're going to keep chasing at it. We're going to keep working at it because I'm not really satisfied with it.
Yeah, and the thing about it, Bob, is, you know, they're chasing it and they're doing when you feel like that, you know, we're not part of it. I mean, we're making it difficult for this team because we're playing so poorly. And I'm guessing is they can't figure out why it's happening, why it continues to keep happening. Like he says, they get 300 yards every week.
Yeah, last night, how many?
400.
Joe Burrow's thrown 9 touchdown passes against the Ravens.
Yeah, and almost 1,000 yards.
Yeah. And they've lost both games. All right, news from the Nats. Last one before we hit buy or sell. Nnamdi Madubuike. He had 3 sacks last night, which is more than he had in the previous 9 games combined, which was 2. But Matty BK talked about the defense, and he got 8 games left. What are you doing to get better?
Yeah, immediately. You know, that's just not our standard of defense, and we know that. And we're going to find ways in practice to improve and get better. And I know the guys in that locker room feel the same way as me, and we're going to get that done. We just got to take it one day at a time and just focus on the right things, build the right habits, and translate to the game.
Here's the thing, Bob, is they say the right thing, but they don't do the right thing. You know, they say all the right things, but they don't do it on the field. Madubuike had a hell of a game. And actually, Bob, I mean, when you think about it, you know, he's got 5 sacks. He has 3 that he got hosed on. You know, he should be sitting here with 8. You know, and he'd probably end up with 11 or kind of what we thought. So they all know that they're not playing well. And the thing is like when Zach Orr talks to them, what kind of confidence right now, what kind of confidence do they have in Zach Orr? They don't have a lot. Can't. When he stands up in front of them and says, hey, guys, we're going to do this. It's going to work. I mean, you're saying, well, we'll see.
Well, according to Marlon, he's telling them and teaching them the right things. They're just not performing once the ball's kicked.
Well, to me, it's too difficult. You got the wrong players, you know.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. If you want to join us, you can. It's 410-583-1057. Get your song request in. Featured Artist Friday, it's Michael Jackson. But when we come back, we're counting money. By yourself. Plenty of sports subjects to get into as well heading into the weekend. We'll look at Vinny's keys to victory. Ravens win. But how many keys do they hit in the process? 1 o'clock, Jeffrey Chedia, NFL Network's going to have some NFL lunch with us. Ravens are just the start of week 10, and which should be an exciting NFL weekend.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan, here on this Victory Friday. Ravens 7-3, 35-34, exciting, thrilling game against the Bengals last night. M&T Bank Stadium, crowd was going crazy, and rightfully so. It's a beautiful day weather-wise. It's in the 70s as we speak. Here as we head into the weekend, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. You got plenty of sports stuff to get into. But first of all, let's count that Dow, man, by yourself.
All right, Bob, the Dow is up 239. The S&P is up 18. The NASDAQ is down 19. DraftKings up a buck and a quarter, up to 40.23 now. Under Armour, they're down $1.11 to 8.83.
They did good yesterday.
Oh, they were up over a buck yesterday.
Bad.
Green and red.
That's right.
All color-coded. Yeah,
Christmas.
All right, let's start in the NBA. The Warriors, one of the teams off to the hottest start in the NBA this year. And there were some questions as to how good they would actually be, you know, coming off of, you know, quick exit in the play-in tournament last year. You lose Klay Thompson. What's the team going to look like? And, you know, you don't want to focus too much on one game early in the season. But the other night, when they traveled to face Boston, beat them 118-112, certainly impressive in theory. However, it's important to note Jalen Brown didn't play in that game. Kristaps Porzingis, he's still not in the lineup. So, still a quality win, but a little more context. Buy or sell, Bob, does an early season win over the defending champs signal that the Warriors are true title contenders again?
I'll soft buy it. And you mentioned, no, Brown, the Zinger hasn't played all year yet. But Boston was on them early, like a Kmart suit, with all due respect to Kmart suit wearers everywhere. And I believe I am one of those people. You know, it's been a nice addition for them. Buddy Hield is having a real, when Curry was out for a couple of games with the ankle, he was like lighting it up. Wiggins has played well for them so far. Jonathan Kuminga can't seem to get his sea legs, though. I know we talked about him in a buy or sell a week or so ago, but you know, once Kerr figures out his role, but I mean, would they be the favorites in the West right now? Probably not, but is the best yet to come for them? Perhaps, sure. I'll soft buy that, Nolan.
Over to the NFL, Trevor Lawrence looks like he's not going to play this week when the 2-7 Jaguars take on Minnesota, dealing with a left shoulder injury, and the timeline still unknown beyond week 10, but the team's referring to him as day-to-day. However, according to Ian Rappaport, surgery is an option that's on the table and being considered at least somewhat by Lawrence. Again, when you're 2-7, you're touchdown underdogs to the Vikings. The room for error, it's pretty much all gone in Jacksonville. But buy or sell, Vinny, if they lose this week, just shut Lawrence down, get him right for 2025.
I'll buy it. You're sitting 2-8, you know, and you got, seven games left? If you won them all, which there's no way you would, you know, you'd be 9-8, and you're still not going to be in the playoffs. And you know what? They're going to have an all-new coaching staff and maybe GM and everything else.
Well, baseball news here, or free agency talk. James McCann, he's served the Orioles very well as a backup catcher these past few years. I mean, who will forget him getting drilled in the face, staying in the game? That's an all-time moment right there.
Doubt.
But he also happens to be a free agent right now. And catcher is becoming a bigger talking point than anticipated in Baltimore, mainly because of Adley Rutschman's poor defensive season and rising prospect Samuel Basayo on the way. There is lots of veteran names available on the open market. Danny Jansen, Yasmani Grandal, Travis d'Arnaud, just to name a few. Buy or sell, Bob, even with Basayo on the way, a veteran replacement for McCann is necessary.
Oh, that's a hell yeah buy. Because Basayo might not be long for the backstop position as he makes his major league debut in 25. Isn't that kind of the anticipation? And McCann respected in the clubhouse. McCann was an all-star at one point during his career. The bats, I mean, he'll run into a fastball every now and again. Unlike Rutschman, he's really strong defensively. I don't know if he'll be the guy. I don't know what the market will be for him in the offseason, but guys like d'Arnaud and Grandal, they were first-round draft picks, if I'm not mistaken. But, catcher, that's not Basayo. Hey, Rutschman, get your bleep together. And maybe you were hurt. Nobody's used that as an excuse, but he got he took the foul ball June 27th. He was hitting over 315 bombs. OPS was over 8. And he went down the toilet after that. So, and the dumper got a little big, too.
Starting catcher in the All-Star game.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Second half, he wouldn't even be allowed to go into the All-Star game to watch it as a fan.
Go back to the NFL. The Panthers certainly haven't given their fans much to celebrate in recent years, but maybe they can at least be happy that the team handed out a big contract to one of their own, Chuba Hubbard. He's going to be in town for a little while longer, now on a 4-year extension worth up to $33 million. About $15 million is guaranteed at signing. It's his age 25 season right now, and he's well on his way to career highs in most stat categories, but prior to this year, it hasn't been the most explosive. He's never broken 1,000 yards in a season. That should change this year. Never had more than 5 touchdowns. And his yards per carry has fluctuated wildly each year. One year it could be in the mid-3s. Next year it's up around 5, then back down below 4. Just very volatile. Buy or sell, Vinny, Hubbard's numbers are too unpredictable to sign him long-term.
I'll sell it. And the reason why, their O-line sucks. You know, and you have trouble with quarterback play, and people know, you know, they're going to run it. So I got no problem with it. It's the only thing they have, and Bryce Young's giving them a little pulse now.
And they're still paying Miles Sanders, too, right? He's got that big contract, not even really playing at all. It's all Hubbard. A lot of money there. We'll close with this in baseball. The Cardinals going to be making some changes to their infield next season, including a new first base option. Earlier this week, it was reported that longtime catcher Wilson Contreras is going to be moving to first base in an effort to extend his career. We've seen this many times with aging catchers. Contreras is certainly a bat you'd like to keep in your lineup. Is a few years removed from his last All-Star appearance. That was in 2022. But the offensive numbers, they're still pretty consistent and solid overall. Buy or sell, Bob, Contreras will make an All-Star team at first base before his career is up.
Selling it. And you mentioned his offensive numbers being okay, nowhere near what it was in Chicago. And if I recall correctly, and granted I can remember 40 year ago stuff, but not 2 years ago, early with St. Louis, he was considered a bust. Like, he got benched, as a matter of fact. Nah, I don't see it. Does mean that Paul Goldschmidt's not coming back.
Right.
See, Christian Walker's a free agent, too, out of Arizona, drafted by the Orioles way back when. And just some right-handed bats to keep an eye on.
Goldschmidt, some power there.
Yeah, but Goldschmidt seems to be trending in a more negative direction.
You know? Yes. Yes.
And didn't Walker pretty much replace Gold? Hey, we're not going to get into minutiae here. It's Vinny at 80-1057. The Fan will come back. Take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Got Vinny's keys to victory as well. Ravens did win, but how many keys did they hit? And Jeffrey Chedia, NFL Network's going to be joining us 1 o'clock. Have some NFL lunch. Pittsburgh's at Washington. Battle of first place teams on Sunday. Who does he like in that matchup?
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient, we're moving on, and we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, Featured Artist Friday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Michael Jackson, just tuning in. You want to hear from him? Send your song request. Plot Sport text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Ravens win 35-34. We'll get to your calls here in a second, but Vinny gave his keys yesterday for a Ravens victory, which they achieved. But how many keys did they hit in doing so?
All right. Number one was less than 3 explosive plays. Yeah, they gave up 4. They gave up 4. And they were 2 of them, 70 and 67. Huge. Number two, no mental errors in the secondary. I want to say that first series, that was out the door. 12 men on the field. Then we had the Marcus Williams one. I don't get how you can keep making so many mental errors throughout 10 weeks. Keep them under 70 rush yards. Yep, 49. And I mean, Burrow threw it 56. So I mean, their game plan was to throw it
and forced a fumble too.
Yep. Number 4. Keep Chase under 100 yards. Yeah, he only had 264.
Nolan, you need to buzzer that again. They whiffed on that one.
Like, because I said, keep him under 100 and tackle him. Another buzzer for no tackle. They didn't tackle him either. Yeah. I mean, Bob, how good that one in the end zone that he caught? How good a throw was that over the two, over Wiggins and.
Well, it was Washington. Another busted coverage, too.
Yeah. Number five, 7+ explosives for the offense. They only had two. Only had two. One was 84 yards, though.
That's good.
Number six, receivers and tight ends win one-on-one and over 100 yak yards.
It's got to be over 100 like, when you get 84.
82, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And I thought they when Bateman had that drive, they were just lining up one-on-one with him, and he schooled them all the way down the field. Rush for over 175, throw for over 250. Yeah, the rushing was only 99, but the throwing got it, but we didn't. And then last but not least, win special teams. Can't miss a PAT, you know, to make it 21-20, and then you're putting it back on the offense.
And you got
to
go for two.
You're right. All right.
By the way, they were over 100 rushing, and then Lamar took the knee, and that took him back to below 100 for the first time in forever.
Should have fell forward.
But
Vic Fangio smiling somewhere.
Yeah, but they win the game.
Yeah,
but missed most of the keys in doing.
They did. They did. Like I had eight. They missed 1, 2, 3, 4. They missed 6 of 8.
I mean, what Jamar Chase did by himself last night, 11, 264, 3 touchdowns. There's probably 100 receivers who haven't done that for the season yet.
Oh, no doubt.
In the National Football League. That was pretty incredible to watch.
And he was awesome. You know, he is. And Bob,
Why are they not paying him again?
I don't know. He, Burrow, and Justin Jefferson were all on the same team.
Yeah. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, too.
Yeah, oofta.
Arguably the greatest offense in the history of college football. They won that national. And Randy Moss's kid, Thaddeus Moss, was the tight end.
And Jefferson was the slot dude, and everybody wondered in the pros if he'd be any good because, you know, could he play on the outside? I guess we know what that is.
All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. It's Vinny and Haney. Featured artist Friday. Victory Friday. Let's go to Baltimore. It's Hubie. Hubie, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. You know what? I wouldn't care what scheme the Ravens put out there. You got to have the personnel to execute the scheme, or it's not going to be any good. It's just like I ain't going to knock Stevens, or I ain't going to knock the defensive coordinator that much, Stevens, because the one play in the end zone where it would have been would be interception, Stevens appeared to be in a certain position in that scheme, but he veered away from it and almost came up with the interception. So he was very deceptive with that. So I put that on personnel. That was real good of him doing that. And the personnel just got to step up. The scheme isn't that bad, but you got to give it a little bit more than what the scheme asked you for. I ain't saying nobody's Ed Reed, but you must be Ed Reed-like. A lot of times Ed Reed could be in a scheme, but by his personnel, he'd veer off from what the scheme calling for because he can preconceive the ball before it get there. Mm-hmm. So this what a lot of the corners and the safeties got to do. Scheme ain't that bad, but the personnel must get better.
Well, right, the thing you, about it is, you know, with Ed Reed, he earned the right to go outside the scheme. He earned that right. And none of these guys have earned any. They've got to just do your job. Just do your job. Don't do somebody else's job. Don't try to be a hero. Don't try to make the great play. Just make the play you're supposed to make.
But Hubie's saying here, not to speak for him because he just spoke for himself. Well, Marlon Humphrey's saying, the scheme's fine. We're just not executing it in real time here.
Well, all right.
That's Marlon Humphrey saying that.
Yeah, no doubt.
And Hubie agrees, obviously.
Yeah, but then the scheme was better last year, and it's the same guys. All right, so the scheme was more complicated last year. They were doing more stuff. And this year, they're bending and not trying to break, you know, and it seems like it's an easier scheme and they're having more problems.
410-583-1057 is the number. It is a victory Friday, 35-34. Ravens beat the Bengals for the second time. Second, exciting, high-powered. Both defenses suck, but we got to enjoy 9 more touchdown passes. Let's get back to the phones. You want to join us, you know the number, 410-583-1057. If you don't, Chris in Parkville. Chris, what's up?
Gentlemen, happy Victory Friday.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like it, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a hard watch, and like you said, this is 10 games in. I think you hit it on the head, Vinny. I think the personnel groupings, I mean, the hand has to be forced here at this juncture going forward, especially if you're thinking the next level. You're trying to get to the playoffs in advance, and I just want to hear what they're doing now is insanity.
Yep.
Expecting them to get better at this point. So I was just interested in hearing some of your thoughts, maybe what you might tweak as far as the defense.
Well, to me, the two guys that are the biggest issues right now is Stevens and Williams. So I would, I don't think I'm going to put Eddie Jazz. I got to find me somebody that can play safety. And then I sit Stevens down, you know, and I take him away as a starter. I'd let him come in and play. But I'm going to give, you know, somebody, I'm going to start Wiggins on the other side. I'll give him a chance.
Let me ask you this, though. Stevens, maybe, and we've had a couple people mention it, move him to safety. All right, ball skills, debatable. That's well documented. Yeah. But he's around the ball. Marcus Williams, he's nowhere near the ball, man. So perhaps, is it too late in the game, no pun intended, to make that change here? Or is that maybe more of a next offseason sort of thing? If he's around.
Yeah, because he'd be a free agent. I don't see them re-signing him. Bob, to me, you know, like somebody said earlier, you said earlier, anything's on the table.
Sure.
Everything's on the table. So whatever we got to do, because we got to fix it. And how do we fix it? We got to tweak some stuff, man. We got to make life easier for these guys. And, you know, like with the offense, why is a different guy becoming the guy all the time? Because they're letting those guys do what they do well. So that's the thing. So let them do what they do well. Because Stevens, in my opinion, does a terrible job in off coverage. Now, in what he's doing in press coverage now, is he's not getting his hands on anybody, basically giving them a free release, and then he can't find them. Marcus Williams is 2 weeks ago now. I mean, we were talking about how deep he was. Now he's jumping up on everything and they're running by him. So I think Marlon's playing fine. You know, Wiggins is doing okay. And they just got to figure out who can do it and who can't do it.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens have a championship level offense. But they have a defense that prevents you from winning championships. So they're 7-3. They get a little break here before the Steelers on the 17th. Pittsburgh has a tough game coming up at Landover coming up Sunday. But, I mean, how are you feeling? Are you torn? Are your emotions running all over from a high to low with your Ravens? Hey, man, they're going to be in first place in 2 weeks. Who knows? Maryland football tomorrow. We'll do our picks next hour, about a half an hour from now, as a matter of fact. They're at Oregon, 24.5, 25 is the spread. I'm going to go ahead and say, just based on my recollections here, this would be the biggest, certainly of the Locksley era, last 50 years, maybe the biggest win in Maryland football. The most memorable was the come from behind 31 zip against Miami.
Yeah.
40 years ago down in the Orange Bowl. Who were the defending national champs? Bernie Kosar. It was Jimmy Johnson's first year replacing Howard Schnellenberger. But Maryland was good that year. They were just getting their asses beat in the first half. Maryland won the ACC, won the Sun Bowl, beat Tennessee. They won like 10 games that year. They just came from behind, which was the biggest comeback in the history of college football at the time. This is a Maryland team that a lot of people think has no business even being on the field with Oregon. And at this late stage of the season, I mean, the first playoff rankings came out Tuesday, and they're number one. The last thing you would expect Dan Lanning and crew to do at home is to slip up against Maryland. But if Maryland could find a way to pull this upset, it would be their biggest win of the last 50 years.
I mean, Bob, I would say that the odds that the game's over by halftime are greater than Maryland winning the game.
I'm not going to disagree with that. Yeah. It's just coming off a bye where they don't do well anyway. The self-inflicted mistakes, the battle of the every football cliche you want to use tends to go against them in these situations. And what have we seen? And we love Coach Loxie. We always have to qualify. But what have we seen in these sorts of matchups? I mean, they've risen up to give Michigan and Ohio State good games. But like Penn State, for instance, they go to Happy Valley to get their pants pulled down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. I hope they win. And I said it yesterday. And Vinny, you actually brought it up, put it in my head. If Maryland wins, I'm getting a Terps tattoo on my week off, which is the week after Thanksgiving. But the chances of me getting a tattoo of Maryland, Nolan, are about the same as me winning the Powerball tonight.
Should we decide on a design? Anything special?
No, I already know. I'm getting the old school turtle.
Like a game score to go with it?
No, I'm not. Yeah, I don't think they're going to win. If I got to pick a game score, it's going to be like 50 to 23.
That would not your pick, but if the Terps were to beat them,
give me
the
like
final
a record here.
Tattoo. Yeah,
I could do that.
That adds to the story, you know.
Sure, add some context to it. People are like, "What the hell is that?" Because when people see my Oriole tattoo, they're like, "What's that 47 and 118?"
We're all trying to forget.
That was their record, and it's a long story, but it lives in infamy on the old Bobster's left leg there. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan, we didn't get to it last hour. Let's do it here, Funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Get things started with Nelly in Abingdon, who says it wasn't pretty, but a win is always a win, and as long as they keep winning, it buys the defense another week to try to figure it out, catch up with what the offense is doing. The ultimate goal would be to have all three phases clicking at the same time heading into the playoffs.
Oh, that's a given. That's what you'd love to have. But last night they won the game and they won one phase. That was it. They lost kicking and they lost defense. So, I mean, they've shown that they can do that just because they can score so many points. But it's going to bite because sooner or later you're going to have a turnover. They just feel like they can't ever punt. Otherwise, the other team's going to get two scores ahead.
This texter says the Zach Orr tenure is bordering on disaster right now. It's going to take a major turnaround to correct the course. Seems like Dean Pease is here basically to evaluate and report as much as he is to quote unquote consult.
No, I think he's here to fix. That's what I think we've seen a lot of, bend but don't break type stuff. I don't think he's here to evaluate and tell Harbs. No, I think he's here to fix totally. Now, I mean, they've got to get it fixed because they got too good a football team to let this go. I mean, you can't the best. I mean, your quarterback's going to throw for 40-some touchdowns, and he's going to throw for 4,500 yards, and you're going to waste that on that defense? No, you got to get it fixed, man, because you can win the Super Bowl.
Did you see when the cameras panned to him in the booth? I think it was Pease? The second half. Yeah,
that was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he was looked like he was running hot, screaming something.
Yeah,
he's ready to leave the stadium.
Right. He's like, these guys are idiots.
And I was just retired 3 weeks ago.
Now my blood pressure's off the charts.
Another texter here says, no way Marcus Williams should remain a starter on this team after another horrible game last night. He's done mentally and physically. Also, Tucker has lost his pass now. Something is seriously wrong with him for sure.
I mean, it's hard to disagree with those two things. You're a kicker. You know, kicking is so weird. You know, because what do you kick? Four, five PATs, or four, right? and misses one. How do you put the others right down the middle and then you shank one? It just blows
me. Are we at the point with 8 games left? So we don't know what the future holds. But if this level of inconsistency for a guy as great as Tucker has been continues throughout the entirety of whatever their season turns out to be, does he get real competition next year? Or is it, instead of just bringing in a leg for the hell of it, for bleeps and giggles, actual, like, hey, man, he came in and took Cundiff's job.
Mm-hmm.
Starting, it was a thought in my head last night the miss. I'll tell you that. I mean, how much longer can it go on? And it's less about, all right, what are the conversations going to be in the offseason, and more about, can you actually trust this guy if you're in the playoffs and the game is on the line? And say you're on the fringe of a long field goal, and it's fourth and short. Are you kicking the field goal, or do you trust your offense more to get that short yardage situation than him kicking a 50-plus yard field goal? It used to be an automatic decision. Send him out there for 60-plus. Yeah. Now we're actually thinking about it.
Now, Bob, you can't go get a beer after they score. You got to sit there and watch the extra point.
Well, I don't care if Jan Stenerud's kicking. I'm getting a beer. But the point, like, to Nolan's point, you know, they bring him out for a 60-yarder. You were thinking there's probably a better than 50% chance he was going to make it. Yeah. Let's just stress this, too. That was his first miss extra points. Not like he's missed like 5 of them. But
it's similar how he missed all his field goals.
He's 78.9% field goals. His career was like 90-91.
And when Harbaugh gets asked about it, because he has been asked every time there's been notable misses this year, he doesn't really come out and say anything. It's just sort of, oh, well, Justin knows what's wrong. He'll fix it. Same thing with Chris Horton. Oh, he's a professional. He knows what's wrong. He's got it under control.
Okay. Like,
is there any actual coaching? Is it just...
Well, Randy Brown is the kicking coach.
Mm-hmm.
So, the kickers know better than anybody, because all they do is critique themselves and they study film, you know, and they're just watching what they do. It's probably like a golfer, same type thing, you know, if you're shanking it. But, you know, they have their club, their pro that travels, their swing coach and all that. So I'm sure he has people that he talks to about his swing and everything else that they dissect, you know, hey, your foot was, you know, a quarter of an inch the other way this time, or, you know.
And Sam Cook, being a part of the operation for all those years, he's still a consultant, right, with the organization. He's still around. I think I've seen him standing on the sideline.
Yeah, his holder for many, many years.
Well, for one last time this week, one more giveaway. 2 more tickets to see Metallica. This is your last chance to win them, so you're going to have to be quick here. I'm looking for caller number 7 at 410-583-1057. Again, our last giveaway of the week, your last chance to win tickets to see Metallica. They're coming to Northwest Stadium May 28th next year.
All right, coming into the final hour of the program, we got Jeffrey Chedia, NFL Network, talking about the Ravens' win last night. Exciting win. Concerns, not the offense. It's more about the defense sucking, maybe preventing them from getting deep into the playoffs. And we'll also talk about the other games of Week 10. Hey, the Jets changed kickers again. So forget about everything else. The football landscape is now all about New York.